W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Ukraine's president swinging through multiple European countries aiming to persuade leaders for more military assistance.
Following a visit to the UK where he met with King Charles and the prime minister, Ukrainian President Zelensky is now in Paris. French President Emmanuel Macron greeting him at the Elysee Palace and vowing to continue supporting Ukraine on its way to victory. Zelensky took the opportunity to ask for additional aid, including warplanes, saying the sooner Ukrainian pilots can obtain those, the sooner the war can end and peace can be restored on the European continent. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Paris.
Residents in eastern Ohio have been told they can return to the town of East Palestine after a train derailment last week prompted evacuations. The train caught fire and was leaking toxic chemicals. Authorities say analysis shows no dangerous toxins in the air. The death toll from this week's earthquake in Syria and Turkey now surpassing 12,000 people. Recovery and rescue efforts continue. This is ABC News. On the sidelines of President Biden's State of the Union Tuesday was a moment caught on camera between embattled Republican Congressman George Santos and Republican Senator Mitt Romney.
It all starts before President Biden even gets into the room. Santos gets there early and positions himself along the main aisle that both the Senate walks into, the Cabinet walks in as well, and President Biden uses to walk into the chamber. Mitt Romney passes by Santos, and he says to George Santos, according to Mitt Romney, "You don't belong here." Romney saying Santos should not have been so prominent in the chamber. Santos responding to our own Rachel Scott today, saying that he believed what Romney told him was reprehensible.
ABC's Devin Dwyer. The St. Thomas University College of Law in Miami, Florida, renaming itself the Benjamin L. Crump College of Law in honor of the high-profile civil rights attorney who often represents black families affected by police violence. Most recently, Crump has been representing the family of Tyree Nichols, but his other clients have included the families of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
Correct.
Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never just wanting to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college. learn new instruments, start skateboarding.
Whoa!
Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Gnarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
You can watch us live at all the faces I make on our Facebook and YouTube and Twitter live stream.
I'm feeling dandy. I'm telling you. Peach keen, I say that too. And I mean it when I say peach keen.
All right.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the noon lunch hour. Thank you for joining us, whether that is on a radio, on the Civic Media app, streaming somewhere, as a podcast later. We are so happy that you are here. And if you are listening live, we would love to hear from you and hear your thoughts, hot takes, funniest moments, angriest moments from last night at the State of the Union, 844-967-2789, because we are going to keep on rolling because we've only scratched the surface as far as all the things that we want to talk about. And when I say we, I am talking about Jane Madden-Hair. That's twice this week. I got Jane Madden-Hair, producer extraordinaire. That's what I was trying to say. And Mr. Greg Bach, comedy club owner.
Guy who wears sock.
Guy with a, you look with the red sweatshirt today.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. You look a little like Santa.
If you could see me right now, folks, if you're watching this live stream, I look like Santa's dead end nephew. Just, you know, like Hunter Claus. Like
Hunter Claus.
I can go with that.
We can go with that. Yeah. Alter ego Hunter Claus, just like Oplander. All right. Well, we thank Dane Schaefer for joining us in the last half hour of the 11 o'clock hour. But moving on back to the State of the Union. I actually want to start here because we ended up not getting to all the facts that I wanted to do yesterday. And now we can't do it because I feel like there's so much to talk about. But do you both know what the designated survivor is?
Yep. I do.
Yep.
Oh, was that? So I'm just learning this morning of what
there
it is?
There was a TV show based on the idea.
Was yeah.
There? Yeah. Yep. With Kiefer Sutherland or Kevin Bacon or some actor.
It was Kiefer, I think.
It was Kiefer. Greg. Yeah.
Well, it reminded me of whichever season Homeland ended on.
Yeah.
Which wasn't the State of the Union. Sorry if you haven't seen Homeland, but that's
spoiler alert.
The spoiler alert because that show ended in 2020. When there was like a big speech at the Pentagon, yeah. And then there ends up being like a bomb and like a bunch of people died. But yeah, and so last night the designated survivor is the U.S. government tradition during the State of the Union, and this has been happening since the 1950s, where one lone government official, typically a low-level cabinet member, yeah. I guess.
Bernie, it's your turn.
Rides out the speech in an undisclosed location so that they alone can continue running the government and the country. Because everyone else, if there's a bomb,
yeah,
everyone's gone.
Secretary of Agriculture will save us.
And so last night, it was the Labor Secretary, Marty Walsh, who I guess has a background in doing stuff for the NHL. As I was trying to Google more information about him. But it feels like you'd need more than one, right? Like if everyone that was in the room last night were to have knock on wood, something terrible would have happened.
You still have the people who are, like, important that aren't there. Like, you still have people in the Pentagon who can still make decisions and whatnot. Yes. You still have, I mean, if based on the idea of the TV show, and I don't want to get too deep into, like, a violent setting here, everyone's gone, yeah, then we have to hold some elections. Things are going to happen. It's going to be a little while. Yeah, they made a whole TV show about it. The first scene,
that one.
Kiefer Sutherland's walked into a room, and he's like, I'm just going to watch her and eat some popcorn, and kaboom! I'm president.
Was that pre or post 24?
Post. It's recent.
That kind of makes sense.
It's recent.
They're like, Kiefer can do this.
Yeah.
Look at how good 24 was.
He pulled it off.
He'd be great at this. All right. As we said, we would love to hear your opinions and what stood out to you last night from the State of the Union. Did you think Biden did well? Do you have thoughts on Sarah Huckabee Sanders, or as Greg wants to call her,
Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Because I have thoughts on that speech, but we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Jane, you said we have a text?
We do, from the 920, checking in. The Biden announcement that infrastructure materials will be made in America. And he took a dig at former presidents of both parties for not doing it in the past. Was surprising in a good way.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I maintain that I was pretty impressed with him last night.
I agree.
We joked, you know, how many gaffes was he going to have? And, like, besides, I mean, I think there's one thing with Biden always to remember besides his age is the guy had a speech impediment and a stutter. And ultimately, he did a lot of work to get over that. But it still impacts.
Yeah.
I mean, look at me. I have a radio show, and I trip over my words all the time.
You can barely say Jane's last name.
Every time I spell it, I do double check still.
It's because it looks wrong.
But I would say the tone I thought was good. I loved how he rolled with the hecklers and the feedback that he was getting from the Republicans throughout the speech. And I still maintain, I know Republicans probably don't agree with this, but I thought it was very much most of the things he talked about were stuff that it's hard to feel like how much money should we give to it and like the quantity and the prioritization maybe, but a lot of the topics I think he brought up as being important help everybody or at least help the people who need the most help as far as the, you know, 75% of us who are living, because I just saw last week, we've talked about this before. As of right now, there's people making $100,000 a year who are living paycheck to paycheck, depending on where they live in the country.
Yeah.
Because of what living costs are right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not what it used to be. I mean, and I know that sounds crazy. There's a lot of people out there be like, oh, I would love to make $100,000. I'd love to make $100,000 a year. But yeah, I mean, there are people who work in Congress who can barely afford to live in D.C. because it's so expensive to live there. And they make like $150,000 a year.
Yeah.
$174 a year.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, the thing I really liked about his speech, though, is he kept on pushing the idea of not just bipartisanship, but also I am the president of everyone. I want to help everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you voted for me or not. This is my job to help everyone. And I think that's something that the Republicans really just can't chip at. Like his overall, like there is no doubt, like this man loves this country so much and he loves everybody in it. And he truly doesn't care if you voted for him or not. He cares about you. I'm not cynical, but I'm also skeptical. But I really feel like the man just truly loves his life and loves this country. And it came across last night in that speech.
And I think he was obviously enjoying himself and he was obviously enjoying engaging with the hecklers.
Yeah.
It didn't faze him. It didn't throw him. And he just handled it so beautifully.
And one of the things they mentioned last night, too, after on the commentary, so I watched it on ABC, was that this is the first State of the Union he's done of regular style. Last year, there was limited attendance. The year before that, he didn't deliver a State of the Union. He just addressed joint session of Congress. And this was post January 6th, so there was a lot of stuff there. So this was his first time to really enjoy a full-blown, real State of the Union address.
Well, and that's, as you say, January 6th, one of the, I think, as I said, when he gave that kind of good joke about Kevin McCarthy and wanting, looking forward to working together, and congratulated him. And you truly, the smile that Kevin McCarthy had ear to ear when he congratulated him on being the new Speaker of the House, because this guy has wanted this so badly for so long.
Yeah.
And, but for the rest of the speech, you could just see every time there was an applause break, Kevin McCarthy's little brain going, should I clap? Should I not clap? Should I clap? And like weighing what it looked like, the optics of whether or not he would clap. He didn't clap for when he condemned January 6th.
Nope.
He didn't clap for the, you know, democracy and democracy still being in store. I don't know what he did clap
for. He clapped and stood for the Medicaid, Medicare.
Yeah,
stuff.
But I want to point out that at that moment when President Biden got the GOP to basically agree that they're not going to hold Social Security and Medicare hostage anymore, he had an eye twitch that I thought was going to throw him off his chair. And then he grudgingly clapped.
Yeah.
But at one point, I was just enjoying his discomfort so much, I was sipping on his anguish like a lemon drop martini. It was a thing of beauty.
Wow. Jane Mann there. See, it's not that hard to say your last name. All right. So
stop it. I do say it most of the time correctly.
A couple more texts I want to share from the 262. Can we get an MTG outfit for Jane and or Kristen?
Oh, my God.
An empty what outfit?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh.
In her white puffy coat with the fur collar. And
maybe I'll do Kristen Cinema with the sleeves.
With the yellow.
And you can be, I feel like you're more of a fur person anyways.
I could do that.
And yeah. I feel like it's more fitting for you to look like a
Cruella DeVille.
Cruella DeVille or like a mafioso's like coked up girlfriend.
Ha!
Yeah. I think that's more fitting for you.
That's so me.
I said that Kristen Cinema looked like a piece of wrapped water taffy. Like she just saltwater taffy.
Those were some sleeves. And I do feel for her, because if you have gone shopping as a woman in the last 10 years, it feels like it is almost impossible to find a blouse with normal sleeves anymore. And I think that dress last night was indicative.
I don't think that was the result of the impossibility of finding sleeves. I think she made a choice. It's like I swallowed a party favor, and here it is, my shirt.
She wants the attention. Yeah.
She wants the attention. All right.
Another texture, real quickly. Biden using specifics last night was really good, as well as baiting the GOP into supporting Medicaid. The bad, Sarah Huckabee Sanders talking more about herself than actual policy.
Yep.
And the ugly, Marjorie Taylor Greene's yelling, but that really should come as no surprise to anyone.
No, that should not come as a surprise. Should we move on to that next? Should we get to the response? The holy Sarah Huckabee Sanders response of...
Holy Huckabee.
Holy Huckabee, because that was... You know, it's one thing to say giving the response is hard, and it usually goes for where political careers want to die, but what was it, Kristi Noem last year? Can we even remember who gave it last year?
And then the year before that was Marco Rubio.
No, Marco Rubio was a while.
Oh, that's a while ago.
Yeah, he's
with the water.
With the water.
With the water.
Jindal, whoever, like, who disappeared off the face of the earth. Like, but I think we need to talk about it because, I got opinions. So, and then we still have George Santos. We have someone. This is the whole hour. But then a reminder that at one point, when it starts, we're cutting to the live stream of President Biden's speech in DeForest, Wisconsin. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underley said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 a.m. this morning and continues until 6 p.m. this evening. Lows level off around 29 overnight under overcast skies, easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. A mixture of precipitation likely tomorrow, 34. 3 to 5 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are here talking about the State of the Union, getting your takes from last night. Get air it out. Air your grievances. What do you think?
Air those pits
out. Or your celebrations of how good you thought it was. Either way, 844-967-2789. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here, who is a... Lives in Kenosha. I'm trying to think. Two truths and a lie. Lives in Kenosha.
Yeah.
Is from Waukesha.
Yeah.
And loves open-toed shoes.
Yeah. Those are all true. By the way, for the folks listening, I challenge you to do this at the top of each hour, not every commercial break. So to watch her flounder to try to find some creative truths and or lies shows you, A, how bad she is at improv, and B, how little she knows me. So... let's move on.
I'm going to get better. I'm going to start practicing in the middle of the week, in between Wednesdays.
Real quick, what's Shane's last name?
Metnair.
All right.
Boom. All right. So, there's still a lot of stuff in Biden's speech. Granted, it was almost an hour and a half. But I think, overall, we can summarize and wrap that up as far as we thought it was good.
Yeah.
Overall, we thought it was good. We thought he did a good job. The content of the speech, while mostly focused on stuff that they've done, had a lot of stuff of things that he wants to still do. And from where I'm sitting, it seems like reasonable things that a lot of us, not all of it, but a lot of the substance of stuff that it seems like we should be able to agree that it's good for a lot of people. Whereas, man, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, new governor of Arkansas, former press secretary for former President Trump, gave the response, and oh boy, it was one of the angriest, most divisive Looney Tunes.
Negative.
Negative. Also self-absorbed.
Oh my gosh, the last half.
Speech, like the response, but the just speech in general that I can remember.
Jane, we have the clip of the opening. It's the first 30 seconds. And just from this first 30 seconds, you can see where this train's a rocking and rolling.
Good evening. I'm Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Being a mom to three young children taught me not to believe every story I hear. So forgive me for not believing much of anything I heard tonight from President Biden. From out-of-control inflation and violent crime to the dangerous border crisis and threat from China, Biden and the Democrats have failed you. They know it, and you know it. And it's time for a change.
Out of the gate.
Right there. Just
out of the gate.
Throws that gauntlet down, baby.
But some of the other things she said. President Biden is simply unfit to serve.
Oh, yep.
We are under attack in a left-wing culture war. Every day we are told we must partake in their rituals, salute their flags. Which flags?
I don't know.
And worship their false idols. Which idols?
American Idol.
And that was the part where I'm like, you guys are the ones who have a shrine to Trump.
Yeah.
And decorate your cars and your houses in this, like, talk about a false idol, Christians. And what flag?
Yeah.
What flags are we making you? I mean, yes, there is rainbow flags.
I think that's the one.
But no one, and like trans flags and stuff, but who's making you salute to it?
Nobody is.
Who is making, you know, was it Gates that said that he's tried to propose that they were going to do the Pledge of Honor, Pledge of Allegiance, in the chambers? I think this was like last week that he was like, we have to I propose that we have to start doing the Pledge of Allegiance before every session and then something like that.
Then one of his colleagues fired back saying, this shouldn't be proposed by someone who literally tried to hold up the overthrow of the country.
Or I think it was like, I'm on board with this as long as the person who is leading the pledge is not someone who condoned and was a part of January 6th. Yeah.
She also, Sarah Huckabee Sanders also said, America is the greatest country the world has ever known because we're the freest country the world has ever known. I don't even know how to start beginning saying words that mean the same to just address how incorrect, factually inaccurate that statement is. And also hack line, such a hack line.
Well, I mean, you want to talk about a hack line and potentially a hack story in general.
Well,
the entire, you know, story and narrative she builds about when she was so lucky to go with President Trump.
Who she never said his name in the entire speech.
Did she not?
She never said Trump once. I listened to it twice. That's right, folks. I listened to this speech twice. Where's my prize?
Yeah, Texter actually points that out. Sarah Huckabee Sanders' response seemed entirely pre-written. I think she only mentioned the State of the Union in the beginning, and the rest of it seemed like a Fox News monologue. Interestingly, when she told the story about her and Trump going to Iraq for Christmas, she never actually said his name.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like she also told, like, so I want to get to that story in a second, but she also started with a story towards the beginning of it about how she got thyroid cancer. Now, I'm happy that she is cancer-free. That's wonderful. She is she has available to her some of the best healthcare mm-hmm. as a state worker. Government employees generally have very, very good healthcare.
Did she? But I think when she had cancer, though, she wasn't.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because she only got inaugurated in January. She won in November.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So I'm sure she had.
Probably also rich.
I mean,
and she has like she made the thing about the healthcare that she got, and she didn't say that our healthcare system needed improvement or that, like, it was just mm-hmm. this story of like, I had cancer. My mother had cancer. They told her she couldn't walk. And have not have kids. Here I am.
All right. Well, if you have thoughts on Sarah Huckabee Sanders, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Country of thee, sweet land of liberty, of the I sing,
of the I sing today. Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Ukraine's president swinging through multiple European countries aiming to persuade leaders for more military assistance.
Following a visit to the UK where he met with King Charles and the prime minister, Ukrainian President Zelensky is now in Paris. French President Emmanuel Macron greeting him at the Elysee Palace and vowing to continue supporting Ukraine on its way to victory. Zelensky took the opportunity to ask for additional aid, including warplanes, saying the sooner Ukrainian pilots can obtain those, the sooner the war can end and peace can be restored on the European continent. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Paris.
Residents in eastern Ohio have been told they can return to the town of East Palestine after a train derailment last week prompted evacuations. The train caught fire and was leaking toxic chemicals. Authorities say analysis shows no dangerous toxins in the air. The death toll from this week's earthquake in Syria and Turkey now surpassing 12,000 people. Recovery and rescue efforts continue. This is ABC News.
You've got advanced prostate cancer, but you're not waiting around. You want straight talk, the facts about Orgovyx.
Orgovyx relugolix, 120 milligram prescription tablets, is a treatment for adults with advanced prostate cancer. Fact, Orgovyx is a different kind of androgen deprivation therapy treatment, a pill, not an injection. Orgovyx may cause serious side effects, including a heart condition called QT prolongation. Tell your doctor right away if you feel dizzy, faint, have a racing or pounding heart, or chest pain. Orgovyx can cause harm to an unborn baby or miscarriage. Use birth control during treatment and for 2 weeks after Orgovyx treatment. The most common side effects include hot flushes, increased blood sugar and blood fat levels, muscle and joint pain, decreased blood hemoglobin levels, increased liver enzymes, tiredness, constipation, and diarrhea. Other side effects include weight gain, decreased sex drive, and erectile function problems. Orgovyx may cause infertility. Talk to your doctor if infertility is a concern for you.
Go with Orgovyx. Ask your doctor. For more facts, visit GoWithTheFacts.com.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to CivicMedia.us.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8, all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
They were going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We're here with Greg Bach, Jane Madnair, Dave Matthews Band. The teenager in me still with Dave Matthews Band.
The teenager in
me. I'm just saying, that was the prime of my eighth grade, freshman year, sophomore year, all of high school, I love Dave. And I honestly.
Oh, do you call him Dave?
I do. Still love him. Still, I saw him when he was at Summerfest Lab 2021.
Okay. He's coming back next year, too.
We're going to go.
Oh, cool.
It's not a fan.
No, not really. My friend told me.
Sorry, it's not metal.
I like other music besides metal. I just don't enjoy this group. It's fine that you like them. A friend of mine told me I had to see him live. I said, I'll go if you pay. And he paid. He bought bought a ticket.
And there you go.
I was like, well, this is like a fish show with a prettier audience.
That's hilarious. All right. So we have been talking about State of the Union and our debrief thoughts, opinions on President Biden's speech, but then also Sarah Huckabee Sanders' response and how it gave, at least for me, I'll speak for myself. It gave me the ick. It was a little like, I wanted to be open-minded. I wanted to listen to it and be able to think about it critically. And it was just so surface level hatred and tied into the low hanging fruit that feeds to the base that is still into that kind of thing and in their own universe as far as what news they're hearing.
And it's she lives in a complete reversal of reality.
Yeah.
I just want to play one little quick clip.
Okay. President Biden inherited the fastest economic recovery on record, the most secure border in history, cheap, abundant, homegrown energy, fast rising wages, a rebuilt military, and a world that was stable and at peace. But over the last 2 years, Democrats destroyed it all.
Destroyed it all.
The way she, and here's the other thing too that really bothers me. Just the way she talks. Destroyed it all. Just the abundant streams. Shut up!
All right, well, we got a caller on the line.
Jack from Merrimack wants to check in. Hi, Jack.
From Merrimack.
Jack, thank you so much for checking in. What do you want to say?
Well, first of all, Huckabee Sanders starts whining about so-called culture wars. If anybody bothers to look objectively, we can see where the culture wars are when, for instance, women's medical rights are curtailed. For instance, when all Republican dominated state legislature votes against any kind of LGBTQ studies in schools, when you see racist ads like the one against Mandela Barnes in this state, I could go on, but you get the picture, I think.
Absolutely.
There's a quote that's attributed to Joseph Goebbels, who was Hitler's minister of propaganda, which says something like, accuse the other side of that of which you are guilty.
Yeah.
And that's certainly what's being done here.
Thank you so much for the call, Jack. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I think we go back and we think about what felt potentially, at least some theorize, that the 2022 midterm elections was kind of a check on extremism. And it was a rejection of some of the fringiest still carrying the banner of election denial. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those people didn't necessarily end up winning their elections. And yet there is a strain in the GOP that is doubling down and saying this works. Continuing to talk about this stuff and regurgitating these falsehoods, this is our winning strategy.
I mean, she said that we were living in a country where we're taught to hate each other on race. I'm like, you served a man who courted white supremacists. Like, what are you even talking about right now? Like, where do you get off saying that? She said that big tech and big government were colluding to take away our freedom of speech. Last time I checked, there is a South African moron running Twitter who allows anybody to say whatever they want now. And Facebook pretty much admitted to allowing people to do what they needed to do to influence an election. So I don't know where that comes from either. And then she mentioned something about fentanyl being a problem.
And it is a problem.
It is a problem. But of course, what did she do? She said, it's the border. It's the wall. It's immigration. Not like we need to do something about this. We need to work together to try to solve this crisis. It's like, nope, there's fentanyl as a problem. That's that guy's problem.
Listened to it twice.
I listened to it twice. Where's my prize? You brought up the Christmas story. And I listened to that story. And I was like, I know that they went to visit. I remember that story being covered. They went to go visit, made a surprise visit. But the fact is, That's all I believe. Everything else I think is embellishment or just straight out lies. The idea that a soldier would rip off a patch and give it to him and be like, we're fighting the same struggle. No, he didn't. He didn't say that. No, he didn't.
And you don't think in perfect unison they chanted,
USA, USA, USA. USA. Also, I don't.
We weren't even perfect unison.
I don't believe that. Like when someone said, "Like Mr. President, I reenlisted because you were because you became president." She goes. He said, "Son." I'm like, "That's a lie, right there." Donald Trump has never called anyone son, including his own sons. So, literally, it just this whole thing was just dark and disgusting and anti-American, in my opinion.
It was so funny because truly, and she ended it, there is, I'm sure this is going to be traveling around the internet as a GIF or GIF. Do you say GIF or GIF?
GIF.
GIF. Do you say GIF or GIF?
James? I say GIF.
No? A house divided. of her ending the speech, and it was almost like something in her brain clicked, and it says, remember to smile. Because she ended, and she was just... Her face had fallen, and then it's like almost in slow motion, she creaks out a smile that is just dead in the eyes.
Yeah, it's like that Stephen Colbert one where he's just like looking at the camera going, just small smile. You hear like the creaking of wood, just like her. Yeah, I mean, and the other thing too, and a piece of substantive information. I would like to know more about this far-reaching conservative education plan she has, which I'm sure, because she said in her speech, she signed sweeping legislation to get rid of CRT and racist indoctrination, and also they no longer can say Latinx. I don't know if that's in government buildings or just in Arkansas, period. But I want to see this education plan. I want to see what, because she made specifically to say it is a far-reaching conservative plan.
Yeah. All right. Well, we may be covering soon.
We're working things out.
People
in the background
are coalescing.
Oh my gosh!
As far as President Biden,
the president's here.
DeForest Dunn. I wish he was here.
I'll be honest.
That would be awesome.
We aired the State of the Union live on Civic Media last night, and on my social media, I had shared the social media graphic that our social media person has created, Brady Colthart, and it looked great, but I shared it to my story on Instagram, and someone wrote back being like, for a split second, I thought you were announcing that you were interviewing him. And I was like, I wish, man.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Someday. Because Earl's interviewed Kamala Harris.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so we've gotten some big names on here.
I've been so close to the Obamas. I've never met them.
I was in the same room as him when he came to town for the election last fall. And it's the first time I saw him speak in person.
He was amazing, wasn't he?
He lived up to the hype, I will say that. And so we're on our toes and we're standing by for as far as when we're going to have to quickly cut over because the speech will be starting. But for now, we're going to keep rolling this with Mr. Greg Bach, Kristen Bry on Civic Media. This is As Goes Wisconsin. And we're talking about State of the Union. And let's move on from Sarah Huckabee Sanders and just talk about some of the quick hits. We're not going to get into them deep, but
are going to be transitioning away.
We are.
All
right, here we go. We're going to be live.
Thank you for listening as we break into regular programming to bring you live coverage of President Joe Biden's visit to the Badger State.
The president's stop in Wisconsin is the first following his State of the Union address Tuesday night. News director Terry Bell and guests are tracking his arrival at Truax Field in Madison, along with his expected speech at a job training center in DeForest.
Our live coverage begins now, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
When you're the president, they shut her down for you, so they'll get him there as quickly as they want to. But getting Joe from the limo to the stage has always been a experience, let's just say, my understanding is Joe Biden likes to talk to everybody.
He does. We talked about that on our show this morning. He spent over, after giving a 73-74 minute speech, he spent an hour and 10 minutes on the floor last night. There was a reporter just ahead of him, and we reported some of those things. He was doing personal things. He was doing business. He was negotiating deals on the floor. He is the quintessential politician. And for those people to say, well, you know, he's too old, he's bad at this, there's something to be said for experience and knowing how to work the legislative process. But also, yeah, you're also a type of person that you're gregarious and you're going to talk to everybody. It probably drives the staff nuts.
Well, I'm sure it does. It drives the media nuts, I can tell you that. You are listening to very special coverage, Civic Media. Todd Alba hosting. Crudy just filling in a little bit here. We are awaiting the arrival of President Joe Biden in DeForest. We've got our own news director, Terry Bell, on the ground. Aaron, you let us know when Terry's willing and able to join us, and we'll take him live on the air.
Will do.
But, Todd, of course, the occasion, the reason, the rationale, President Joe Biden's coming to Wisconsin. Well, the big speech last night, the State of the Union address. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, it was just, let's purely talk about entertainment value. Right. Better than expected.
It was.
There was a little conflict there, a little interplay in the chamber. And, of course, Joe Biden's coming out today to go on the stump. Start selling the message to the American people. I believe he's going to Florida very soon,
yep,
maybe tomorrow.
Tampa Bay.
So I'm not exactly sure if this is a world tour that Joe Biden's on. You know, he's not pink.
We do now have Terry Bell as well.
Well, excellent. Terry Bell, what's going on the ground in DeForest, Wisconsin Labor Training Center, soon to be the site of a Joe Biden speech. How you doing, Terry?
Well, wait, Crudy, that's pretty much how it goes with these things. We've been here for most of the morning waiting for things to get started. The president actually arrived quite a bit ago, and this is what we do when these things happen. It's very apropos.
Hey, Terry.
The president. Yes.
Terry, I tell you what, why don't you check in on a cell phone? Unfortunately, here's what happens. You go to these live events, and first and foremost, the Secret Service, we often use cellular to transmit. Well, the Secret Service likes to dampen down the amount of cell phone traffic going on around the president. You know, if people are plotting and scheming,
right,
they might use cell phones in this modern era. So sometimes it is of the volition of the Secret Service. They'll knock down the cell phones. Very limited coverage. Or, alternatively, occasionally, Todd, it's the fact that, oh, there's thousands of people soon to meet the president. The guy's about to come out for a speech. What's everybody doing? They're on Facebook, baby.
Right.
They're doing a live stream right now. So the bandwidth often gets bogged down. So, Terry, try the cell phone. That might be a little easier. 844-967-2789.
We talked a little bit this morning on my show as well, back in 2004, and I don't care what party it is. I had the honor of helping coordinate the presidential visit for President George W. Bush when he visited Richland Center, the home of WRCO, WRCE, one of our fine Civic Media Network stations. I didn't sleep. That's an exaggeration. I slept for about 2 hours a night for 3 days. There's a tremendous amount of work, and you're at, you know, I got to work with the Secret Service. It was a really cool thing, but you're right. There is a lot that goes on behind the scenes that people don't even realize. Talking about cell phone service in Richland Center, they had Secret Service on four-wheelers up on top of the hills, out in the woods with snipers. It's a huge deal just to protect the president. No matter, it's the office of the president we're talking about, right? It goes beyond partisan politics to the office. The president of the United States visits your town, your city, your state. It's a big deal.
You know, my wife supposed to fly into Truax Field a little bit later this afternoon.
Good luck on that.
I suspect she might be disrupted.
I think so.
Not the first time. I told the story on my show yesterday. Not the first time my family's been disrupted. My daughter, Kelsey Kidd, flying in from California on the 4th of July weekend under darker days, under the Trump administration.
Sure.
And Trump came to town for the 4th. I don't recall why, but Trump had the airspace shut down, had the airport shut down.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 a.m. this morning and continues until 6 p.m. this evening. Cloudy overnight with a low of 29. East winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Mixed precipitation likely. High temperatures reach up to 34. 3 to 5 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got J-Matt Nair on the board picking great music, as always. And our guest this whole hour has been Mr. Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. And Greg Bach is here because it's Wednesdays. And Greg has, I've hogged a lot of the questions, so I'm going to let Greg ask a question.
So going back to what we were talking about a couple of segments ago, as far as, you know, you discussing the way of interpreting your candidates for judges is it's very important. We saw with former Justice Kelly being appointed, right, not only during the Walker administration being appointed, but being appointed with very, very little experience. There was not a, I remember reading this in the papers. It was a lot of kerfuffle about the fact that he was someone with really no chops. And all of a sudden he's just being foisted into this huge point of power. And now we're seeing him coming back and with, it almost seems like a vengeance on the campaigning side.
Right, right. And when he does now have, by virtue of being on the court previously, he is different from the other four, Greg, just because, as you're indicating, he does have a bit of a judicial record right now. So to the extent that your listeners are thinking, well, gee, Jim, how do I find out about who these judges are? Kind of tough to do it with the other three because a lot of their decisions are oral, and they've written some things, but not a lot published out there. You can find it. But as to Kelly, you can go back and look at his Supreme Court tenure. It's not extensive. And try to figure out what makes him tick? Mm-hmm. What kinds of things has he decided? And did that lack of experience show itself in his previous performance on the Supreme Court? That's a good question also to ask him about. You know, what is it? I think it's a great question to ask all of them, including him. Why is it you want to be a Supreme Court justice? Mm-hmm. What is it really that does animate you in your brain? Is this, as you just indicated, just a time to, I don't call it payback necessarily, but I just want to get my old job back?
Yeah.
That's not a legitimate reason for doing it, right? Is there something more elevated than that that prompts him to say, I have got not an agenda, but I truly want to serve? And yes, he probably will say that, as will the others. But that's the kind of thing, once again, you can test. Hear what they say when you ask, why do you want to have this job that requires all this work, all this attention, where you're going to get skewered in the media and one side or another, where you do have to run again, admittedly, in 10 years? Why do you want to go through this campaign to get this job? Why is that so? Is it about you? Is it about your notoriety? Or is it about something about serving the people of the state of Wisconsin? And they will all say that, but the way in which they say it and the way in which they grab onto fundamental notions about the rule of law and the importance of the experience that they have,
Three of them have it, having been on the bench, having sentenced people to prison, having resolved cases of horrific disputes between people of commercial and contract nature, deciding all these tough things. That is the kind of thing that, again, they may well say, by virtue of that, I want now to be someone who can correct a lower court. Mm-hmm. I can articulate principles that I would have benefited from at the lower court level. That's a reason for doing it. But first and foremost, it's got to be about service to the people of the state of Wisconsin. And bringing to that some, again, getting back to our very first conversation, that rule of law notion, that I will not be animated by partisan politics. I will not be taking the calls from the Democrats or the Republicans. I'm not going to get a notebook from them. I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to do what, again, my view is, what the law should dictate based upon who we are and what we do in 2023, in this early part of the 21st century.
That's
a great answer.
That's a great answer.
And I feel like Kelly is showing his hand right now and appealing to the sense of politics more than experience and knowledge.
Right.
Well, he did say, as I was looking up, all right, what's the latest headlines? As of this morning, he said, taking a page out of Trump's book. Dan Kelly says he was burned by Justice Hagedorn, won't endorse Jennifer Doro if she wins the primary. And so it kind of goes into, this is more like politics that we're used to seeing.
Do they make robes for small babies? Because that's how he's acting, like a small baby.
He's got a little baby cape.
Right. Little baby cape. Have you heard this rumor that he wears a cape?
You know, I have heard that. Who knows what the truth is?
What?
But right to the larger point is, even that, we haven't talked about the word temperament, right? Attitude, temperament. Yeah. If you're yelling and screaming, if your verbs by their very nature are verbs of violence and anger and retribution, I want a judge who will take the criticism, who will be told from time to time that he or she is wrong, and will say, you know what, I agree with you or I disagree with you. Some humility, right?
Mm-hmm. Won't get violent in the court.
Exactly. Won't get violent in the court, whether that's physical or or oral violence, those kinds of things. We want this to be a rule of law application consistently that's premised upon respect, even for those people whose views we completely disagree with. That's what America is about. I often say, we said this last time I was on your show, Kristen, you know, reasonable people can disagree about many, many things. Mm-hmm. I'd offer there are some categories of things about which reasonable people should not be disagreeing about, having to do with race and fundamental human rights. Those kinds of things are not debatable.
We can agree to disagree on those, right?
Right. Hope not, right? But there are some things that reasonable people can disagree on. And that's why there's deliberative process that's in the judiciary, that's in our legislature as well, it's in campaigns as well. That's all important. That is in the Federalist paper that Greg reads every night, that notion of deliberating, right, and being thoughtful when it comes to telling other people, I disagree with you, and let me explain to you why it is that I disagree with you, and then you tell me why you think I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. And in that debate that really should be had in a public domain on substance and not just on glib little throwaway lines, that's where you get to see how people really are.
Well, and I was not living here at the time, but it's still just shocking to me that Michael Gableman and the temperament we've now seen him to have.
Right.
And there are people who love that.
And but you got someone like Brett Kavanaugh too, who during his confirmation hearings.
Right.
Also needed a baby robe.
Oh my God, needed a baby robe and a baby beer. Oh my God.
Temperament is an important thing and a good thing to be asked about.
Yes.
I know that this is, Kristen, will
you also only have a minute, so.
I was going to say this. Watch The West Wing, Season 5, Episode 17, The Supremes. It's a beautiful episode about the Supreme Court confirmation process, and it's watching two people who fundamentally disagree with each other disagree without being disagreeable.
Love it.
There you go.
Jim Santel, thank you so much for spending an hour with us.
Always a pleasure to be with the three of you.
This was very educational. I can't wait to share it with people who can't listen during the day, because I think this is an important thing for people to consider as they go into the primary, mm-hmm. and then again in the general.
And vote,
and
right?
Vote. All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Follow Jim Santel. Listen to his show, Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 on Saturdays on Civic Media. This is As Goes Wisconsin. And
lawyers, guns, and money. Guns and money. Send lawyers, guns and money.
you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Greenbelt.